Chapter 15, Arlene. Loretta stirred milk into her coffee cup with that little clink-clink sound that grated on Arlene's nerves. Loretta's Mr. Coffee machine was broken again, and since she had never been any too fond of instant, she had shown up at Arlene's house for coffee this morning. Arlene's Mr. Coffee machine never broke, so she was forced to conclude that Loretta used hers too hard. Usually, she liked having Loretta around, the more the better, but she'd been out of sorts the past week. Loretta's voice broke the stillness. "You don't talk much about him anymore."
"Who?"
"What do you mean, who? That guy you were all fired up about."
Oh, somehow she thought Loretta meant Ricky, a fact she couldn't explain and chose not to mention.
"I guess I've been sort of avoiding him."
"So what's the problem?"
"I wish I knew." She sat down, head in hands. This could not be delayed any longer.
"Last time we went out, he was acting funny. You know how people act."
"No, I thought lots of different people acted lots of different ways."
"I mean how people act when they're trying to say something.
Didn't you ever do that? Practice in the mirror? Something you gotta say. And then when you see them, it just sort of hangs there, like everybody can hear it." I kept thinking the waiter could hear it.
"So, what'd he say?"
"He never did. But I know anyway. He was trying to break up with me. I could tell."
"You don't know that until you ask him."
"I know now."
"You should ask him."
"Then he might tell me." She could see Trevor out the window, playing on the garage roof with his friend Joe. She'd never exactly told him not to, but he must have known she wouldn't like it all that well. When she stuck her head out the kitchen window, he climbed back onto the plum tree and waved.
"So, you gotta talk to him sometime."
"I thought maybe I'd go over to his house with Trevor." That had worked out unexpectedly well last time, but it seemed a little tricky to explain, so she didn't try.
"So, now it's a big deal that he not break up with you.
Why does that seem so strange?"
"Last I heard, you were just dating till Ricky came home."
Arlene rocked back in her chair and fixed Loretta with that look she reserved for the immature, the rude, and the plain stupid.
"Ricky ain't coming back. Don't you know that, Loretta?"
Loretta's eyebrows arched.
"Don't I know that? Don't I know? Honey, on last count, the only living soul on the face of the planet to not know that was you."
Arlene sighed and threw the last of her coffee down the sink drain.
"Well, I demanded a recount," she said.
When Trevor bounced through the kitchen door, she told Loretta to get lost. She said it in a kind of sign language, the kind that works only when you've known somebody a long time.
"I was just going to have one more cup, Arlene."
Arlene picked up the Mr. Coffee machine, pulling the plug out of the wall as she carried it away from the counter. Three more cups worth sloshed in the pot.
"Be my guest,"
she said, and handed the whole mess to Loretta.
"Well, a brick wall don't have to fall on me, but darned if she didn't take that machine with her."
"Hi, Mom. How come you gave Loretta the coffee machine?"
"Oh, no special reason, honey. Listen, you ever see Mr. Clare now that school's out?"
"Sure, Mom. I see him all the time."
"Where exactly?"
"I go over to his house."
"Oh, we should do that. Sometime together."
"Okay, now?"
"Well, maybe not now."
"Why not now?"
"We didn't call or anything."
"I never call. I just ride my bike over."
"Well, that's different, though, honey, with you."
"Why is it different?"
"Give me a minute to think."
On their way over in the car, she asked yet again,
"When you go over there, Trevor, and talk to him, does he ever ask about me?"
"Yeah."
"How many times?"
"Every time."
"Really?"
"Yeah, really."
"What does he ask?"
"He always says, 'How's your mother, Trevor?' And then I say, 'Oh, fine, she's fine.' And then he says,
So, Trevor, does she ever talk about me?
A long silence. If he asked you to marry him, would you?
He ain't gonna ask me that.
If he did?
He won't.
Can we talk about something else? It was time to change the subject anyway. It wasn't a very long drive. When Reuben answered the door, Trevor bounced right in like he lived there.
Hi, Reuben, he called on his way by.
Hi, Trevor. Arlene, this is a surprise. He was in sweat clothes and unshaven, and he looked sad. Not that any of that mattered to Arlene, who was busy noticing how much she'd missed him. It was a big, heavy feeling, suddenly almost more than her insides could hold.
Sorry I didn't call first, but...
But what, Arlene? How are you gonna finish that sentence? But I didn't want to give you a chance to say no. Don't bother. Or worse yet, to hear him say her name in that awful way. The way someone does when they start a sentence that's going to hurt. It's okay. Come in. She did, and she stood feeling awkward, aware of Trevor watching, not sure what to say. It wouldn't be like the last time when they were unpacking and Trevor was all lost in another world. She wouldn't be able to really talk. But then again, she consoled herself. Neither would he. Trevor, where do you get off calling Mr. St. Clair by his first name? I didn't raise you up like that.
He said I could, just for the summer. When I get back in his class in the fall, I gotta switch back.
It's true. I said he could. Reuben agreed as he headed into the kitchen.
Oh, you're in Reuben's class again next year? Arlene asked, sounding both genuinely curious and optimistic in about equal parts.
Yeah, in a school my size, you know, there's only one social studies teacher for all grades.
Well, that's great, honey.
Somewhere in the world, Arlene knew there was something more to say. If she could only find it. She perched on Reuben's couch and he brought her a ginger ale. The silence felt bigger than anything the house could contain. Trevor said, "Where's Miss Liza?"
"I think she's out in the backyard, stalking birds. I'll go see."
He thundered off, leaving Arlene with room to speak, which she now no longer wanted.
"Arlene, I..."
She jumped in fast before he could say what she knew he would say if she wasn't careful.
"I really missed you."
"You did?" He sounded surprised.
"Oh, yeah, little things. I got used to having you around."
"What kind of little things?"
"Oh, just, you know."
She knew he didn't.
"Like the funny messages you used to leave on my machine. I don't remember any word for word, but they were funny. I miss things like that."
"I'm sorry I didn't call. I've had a lot on my mind."
"Yeah, me too."
"Yeah, that's what they all say." She reached out and touched his right cheek. She was making a fool of herself, she knew, but she didn't care. She was almost ready to beg. Everybody regards that as so unthinkable, but somewhere in the back of her mind, she figured people do it all the time. Just listen to popular music and you'll hear it. "I'd get down on my knees for you. Ain't too proud to beg. Baby, please don't go." Before she could, Trevor came back in with the cat draped over his shoulder. They stayed for an hour or so, during which Arlene spent most of the time marveling at the ease with which Reuben and Trevor talked to each other. She watched closely, like it was something she could learn. The following night, he called and asked her to dinner at his house. He said he was all settled in and felt ready to cook.
"I was hoping to get your machine," he said. "I was going to leave a funny message."
"Want me to hang up so you can call back?"
"No, that's okay. I'll try to be funny when I see you."
That's when she first realized that he had never had been funny before. Not face to face, only as a voice on a tape.
"Reuben?"
"Yes?" She hated the way she'd said his name, that big, awful, weighty way that people do before bad news. She knew it came through that way too, heard it in his voice. Everybody hates to hear their name spoken that way.
"The last time we went out?"
"Yes."
I know what it was you were going to say to me.
You do?
Yeah, I do. But don't say it, okay? Please, just don't.
Okay, I won't.
He sounded. She couldn't put her finger on it.
Hurt?
Relieved? You won't?
Not if you don't want me to.
Wow, she thought as she hung up the phone. Who'd have thought it would be that easy?
The movie had ended and Ruben's VCR had automatically rewound the cassette. She wasn't sure if he was asleep. She allowed herself to drift into a feeling, a sense, that she was somehow watching all this from above. Not so much physically, but more in terms of perspective. She'd been so sure it was over, but if she could have gotten up a little higher, seen a little farther, she might have been able to see this. She wondered if she would remember this feeling next time something seemed, in the short run, to be going wrong. She knew she probably would not. She knew people transcended that line of knowledge all the time, but darned if they didn't tend to cross right back again. She whispered quietly, hoping to plant words in his head without waking him, without really calling attention to herself.
I'm so glad you decided not to break up with me.
His eyes opened, and he blinked and swallowed as though he'd been half asleep.
Break up with you?
Yeah, but let's not even talk about that now.
I was never going to break up with you.
You weren't?
Well, what were you going to say to me then?
Is that what you thought I was trying to say last time?
Yeah, it wasn't.
So, that's what you asked me to please not say?
Yeah, what was it then?
She watched his chest rise with an intake of breath.
Never mind, you wouldn't have liked it.
Maybe not, but you sure know I gotta hear it now.
Don't laugh, okay? I was going to ask you to marry me.
Arlene's throat felt tight. Even if she had known what to say, which she did not, she probably couldn't have said it. He braved the silence for a remarkable length of time. Then he coughed.
Not right away.
I just thought we could be engaged for as long as it takes to get to know each other well enough to take that step. I thought it might be better for Trevor and better for you. Not in that order, though. I thought of you first. I thought you'd feel better wearing an engagement ring. Even if we didn't set a date right away, it was meant as a symbol of my intentions, which are honorable. Are you ever going to say something?
You bought a ring?
That was something, probably as good a something as any other.
I guess I did, he said. Don't answer now. Just think about it.
She said she would. She didn't say she wouldn't think about anything else, but she'd be up all night thinking about it. But that's the way it turned out to be.